Surprise! And you know, when I used to be on Channel 30 24 hours a day, people could never tell when it was live or a program they hadn't seen, because they didn't know whether they were watching a rerun or watching it live. So I started wearing different hats. If it was a hat you'd never seen before, you knew it was a program that was probably live, or certainly you hadn't seen it before. So it's been long since I've done a Friday night live festival, and I decided I'd wear a hat you hadn't seen. That ought to convince you, you that have seen 1,001 hats plus, that this is live tonight. Now, anything can happen. The reason we're here, there's, for the first time, if you look around, 5 cameras in this room. And only 1 old camera. 4 new ones. Because after 26 years, the cameras that they told me when I came here had 7-year life, and 3 years were already into them, so I could only use them for another 4 years. They're still here. But after 26 years and before my upcoming anniversary, which will end 26 years and start my 27th year, first week in November, we are adding many pieces of equipment, all of which are a part of expansion, most of which I haven't told you about. That was Secret 13. So tonight we're doing a sort of shakedown cruise. 4 of these cameras are new. 3 of them have already been in use. Another one, which is a much better quality camera than we have had in the past. It's a digital camera with the capacity to function both as digital and analog, which are 2 different systems that you that are in the know the difference, and everything is going digital. In fact, the various TV licensees are going to be forced to go digital in the months and years ahead. So this is moving into a whole new generation, and this camera will let us use it in concert with the old analog cameras that we still have and the 3 last generation of analog cameras that are 3 of the new ones. They're new to us, but they were in good condition used cameras. This one right here, not the one I'm pointing at, but right there, that's brand new. First time turned on here tonight. And I wanted to come and do a festival for a lot of reasons, but also to give the camera people and Melissa is the director here. She doesn't direct on Sunday morning, though I may send her out Sunday morning to make sure. Just have a shakedown cruise. So whatever happens tonight, you know we're experimenting, learning, getting the kinks out. It's a test drive, and I'm putting out a call again. I want the volunteer camera people to be there tomorrow night by 7 o'clock so that you can practice. I need all of you there. We don't intend to eliminate the other 7 cameras. We just intend to add 2 more. And when we get done, those 26-year-old cameras will still be functioning. We need 15 cameras. We need one up on the roof like they have when they're giving you the weather report. They say, this is our camera from such and such a place where we can... this switcher we have can handle 15, 16... maybe more than that, cameras. So we need cameramen trained I need to give directions to Melissa while they're doing the music practice. We can shake some of you out of your traditional cameraman role, which has been the result of monkey see, monkey do, and perpetuating less than adequate camera work. You got to be more than just standing there and pointing the camera. You got to know a little bit about what we want. And every camera needs to act like it's live all the time. For years, the teaching and the quality of the service has been better than the technical side. We're upgrading the technical. And I'd like your cooperation and camera people. Probably you that think you don't need some training are the least qualified to be there. Because that means you've gotten into a comfort zone and have forgotten that this is a war in the spiritual realm. And it's the most important job you do all week long. So I want the volunteer camera people there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock so you can get some additional training. And I expect not all of them are listening tonight, but I expect the crew here to call them and get them there. Well, I got other plans. I suppose those in the reserve can try that. You think they can try that now that the crisis is facing the United States and the reserves are called up? I was listening to one guy last night. He had planned to get married in a couple of weeks, a couple of months rather. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to get married in 2 days and be packed and gone on assignment for 2 years. That's the way it is in wartime. Now, I have told this congregation, this uncommon church that I came here to build, I'm one of the few pastors that knows we're at war. At war against not flesh and blood. And I'm not talking about the national war. I'm talking about the war that the church is engaged in, which if done properly against the gates of hell, they shall not prevail against us. Now, it's wartime. I want you there. Enough said on that subject. I want more reservations tonight for the cathedral. The one thing I have to emphasize is that I extended Secret 14 until Christmas. We're looking for a certain number to give $5,000 in by Christmas and a certain number to give $10,000 in by Christmas. The rest of you to do everything that you can. Over and above tithe. We don't raise money for projects. We raise money as a response to the teaching and as special opportunities to say what the teaching means to you are these secrets. You're giving because of the teaching. I'm going to do something that expands this ministry, and I don't tell you what it is until it's done. I don't even like the devil to find out until we've surprised him. A lot of you ask for an extension, but you haven't done anything. Extension will not go past Christmas. Now, you've got to take the step of faith like the widow that Elijah came to. Then God responds. Understand? We don't have telethons. We don't raise money for projects. We teach and say, pay what the teaching's worth. And those that are gripped by God's word understand the stewardship of how to relate to God and that which he's given to you, and the tithe and the first fruits are the Lord's. Tabernacle time is upon us. Feast of the Trumpets was this past Monday. Yom Kippur, as they call it, the Day of Atonement, is right upon us. And following that, the week-long Feast of Tabernacles, where in the Old Testament times they were forced to move out of their house into a structure made of tree limbs, booths. It's called the Feast of Booths for that reason. They built booths out of tree limbs and moved out of their house to the street or the roof of the house or the yard and lived that way for a week to remind themselves that that was all that their ancestors had when they were brought out of Egypt, the type of sin, and God provided for them. And they were doing what Moses said to remember when they got into the land, that all that they had, God provided it. And whatever they had, big house or little house, they were to move out and look and thank God that another year, for this began the civil year. They had a religious year that began at Passover time. The civil year began with the Feast of the Trumpets. And as they started another year, they literally, by moving into this temporary structure, and there were no services that could rent potties, and trucks coming, and there was no piped-in water. They lived in a booth, the way they did in the wilderness, and rejoiced that God had provided so much more for them, and that He had taken them for another year. And they recognized that it was God's care that brought them to yet the beginning of another year, and they rejoiced in the knowledge that the same God could take them another year as they recognized His provision, and they gave 203 sacrifices, more than any other time of the year, to testify to their gratitude and their joy and their thanksgiving for God's provision. We every year, for many years, have sought to get you to join in the spirit of the Feast of the Tabernacles by making an extra sacrificial offering in the quantity number of 203. If your medium of exchange is dollars, $203. Or if you've been particularly blessed, $2,003. But to identify with the spirit of that week of sacrifice and ask the same thing of God after thanking Him of His care for the past year, thanking Him for what you can anticipate His care for the next year. Because in those passages on the Feast of the Tabernacles, the promise of God was if they remembered Him in this joyous feast, He'd send an angel ahead of them to guard their path and to prepare the way. If they didn't remember Him and be thankful, that angel would turn against them. The usual two-edged sword, blessing and cursing. We remember the Feast of the Tabernacles at this time every year, beginning with the Feast of the Trumpets until Thanksgiving, with an extra $203 or some increment of $203 offering. Now, people have asked me, since that's above the tithe, it's the tabernacle offering, does it count for Secret 14? The answer is yes. All of your offerings over the tithe and the first fruits counts for Secret 14. But I want to remind you of it, even if you haven't gotten the letter yet, it's tabernacle time. And Secret 14 is counting down to Christmas time. You've always been faithful. And every time those that have participated rejoice when the secret becomes known. There are people that go by the fountain of faith at King's House 1, wish they'd participated then. Some of you weren't here and some of you didn't participate. Opportunities come and they never come again. So don't miss these opportunities. I want you on the phone. I want you on the phone now as the music plays. Now I want you to make the calls regarding Secret 14. Some of you not made a big leap of faith since the Hope Street Church. Surely you've been listening to the preaching in Romans from faith to faith. This congregation needs to be sort of jump-started into pushing your faith this coming year start with the Feast of the Tabernacles offering and push your faith up a little bit. It's easy to settle on your lease, as the Bible says, and not get emptied from vessel to vessel. This ministry is just beginning, if you'll come alive. Now get with it. Don't be an onlooker. Get on the phone. You know, this is interesting. Dear Dr. Scott, I hope you don't mind the recommendation. Original message sent to the First Lady of the White House. Sent Sunday, September 16, 2001, 12:56 p.m. Subject, Dr. Gene Scott. Dear First Lady Bush, I would like to recommend you obtain a copy of Dr. Gene Scott's message of Sunday, September 16, 2001, VF 1278, and play on national TV for the American people. Dr. Scott is one of the most powerful speakers of the ministry in this country, and I believe you will see that in the above tape. Dr. Scott is based in Los Angeles, California, with worldwide broadcasts. Thank you, and God bless America. You know, about 10,000 of you ought to recommend the same thing. But more importantly, more importantly, you need to send a copy. Just send a copy. Buy a videotape and send a copy to the president, or send it to his wife. And send a copy with a very nice thing that to our current attorney general, and say, you remember Dr. Scott? He bawled you out when you were a teenager on his first Sunday at Central Assembly in Springfield, Missouri. Do that. I appreciate it. They say, I hope you don't mind. I appreciate it. I think that George Bush and Mrs. Bush and John Ashcroft could use the encouragement of Psalm 84. I think Bush's speech before Congress was his finest moment. He's winning me over. You know, a lot of the pundits are criticizing Dead or Alive and the Western. I can give them one that's even better. Someone overheard him say, well, I sure won't send a $10 million missile to shoot down a $10 tent and hit a camel's butt. I mean, I like his style. They're kind of trying to clean up his Texas style. But there were very few criticisms of his speech before Congress. And now we're going to hear all the pundits and the sad sack preachers saying, turn the other cheek. I got some things to say about that in the next half hour and on Sunday morning. So I hope you'll be in the King's House, or the cathedral rather, on Sunday morning. Because I have some things to say about what's going on in the world as part of my message on Sunday. See, these religious and philosophic jellyfish pundits are trying to get us to make the same mistake that the religious people in Germany, who could have stopped Hitler, but were more concerned to present their self-styled perfect Christian image than to deal with the reality of the moment. They thought their choice was between pacifism and war. No, their choice was yielding to tyranny and embracing it and encouraging it by their pacifism, or war. And that's what Reinhold Niebuhr calls a tragic choice. And I got somewhat to say about that in the service Sunday morning and in the message, including making sure you don't misunderstand the message of judge not as preventing the kind of action that has to be taken against terrorists. So I suggest you be in the cathedral Sunday morning. I got a lot to say. Get on the phone. Now, we're live tonight. taking calls for the cathedral. Secret 14 participation. And we're entering into the Feast of the Tabernacles period within the next few days. And every year we keep that Feast of the Tabernacles from the Feast of the Trumpets, or from the Feast of the Tabernacles when it begins in a few days, until Thanksgiving. For those that don't, or happen to not think that the Feast of the Tabernacles is one of the feasts we should keep keeping, all the other feasts the feast days are substance or are shadows of the substance which is Christ. But the Feast of the Tabernacles, God will make the whole world keep it for 1,000 years during the millennium, because He wants that message to be indelibly written on the minds and lives of mankind before He recreates the heavens and the earth anew at the close of the millennium. And after the last white throne judgment, when He says, "Behold, I create all things new." He wants the last act of history, and He will enforce it during the millennium. Nations will come to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of the Tabernacle and be taught its true meaning, and the Jews will be the ones during the millennium to teach its true meaning. If they don't come, He'll visit them with a plague. He wants mankind to recognize that all blessings they have, including life itself, comes from Him. And as I'm saying, the wrath of God is built up in that first chapter of Romans on people who are not thankful and recognize His presence. The Feast of the Tabernacles is Thanksgiving time to recognize all you are and what you have, including your life and family, are His gift and His provision, and you're to recognize it with thanksgiving as you start the next year. Get on board. $203 to identify with the spirit of 203 sacrifices, or some multiple of that number. And Secret 14 will close December. When the music plays, I want you on the phone making those commitments. But as you know, I'm overhauling my staff. I'm doing what no institution has ever done. My wife and I were with Oral and Evelyn Roberts a week or so ago, for about 4 hours as we renewed fellowship. We laughed together and cried a little, because Paul and I were very close. And he was kind enough to say, earlier he'd said when the meeting was set up, that there'd be no Oral Roberts University, he said, if it weren't for Gene Scott. And he was lamenting that there were a lot of people there when I was there that he wanted to leave, and I was one of them he didn't want to leave. I've always respected Oral as a man. I've always said publicly many times he was an honest man at a time when a lot of healing ministries were not. And I could now share with him an experience of being healed from a death-dealing disease, and listen to him tell me again of his healing of tuberculosis, killing tuberculosis in a day when they didn't have the cures. But we laughed and shared a little some of the conflicts that he used to. I'd see him slosh across in the snow with his hip boots in the winter, or on his horse in the summer. There were staff problems. Of people that have been working in the ministry but lose the vision and get to the point that they think they know more than the leader and quit following and start trying to figure out how to work around the leader and in some cases impede what God's leading him to do. And I told you, I've reached the zero tolerance stage. I've talked many times of what I call the von Bowman syndrome, and the old timers will remember the description of that. I'm cleaning the house, just like I did when I came here 26 years ago. I do not intend to have happen to this church what happened to the Worldwide Church of God. When the old man died, I do not intend to have people here that have eyes on assets and almost hope that I get taken home like kids that wait for an old rich dad to die. I'm not living them all. But even if I don't, they're getting with it or getting out, and it's no longer just talk. I've been doing it. I thank God for Melissa in this church. Better be thanking God for Melissa. Without her, I couldn't do it. And I've even laid her and my love for her and our relationship on the altar as she works in human hours to help me train new people almost in a bubble. I can't even afford to let them have contact with the old guard, who tune me out when I'm talking and already have decided what they're going to do. I'm hiring new people, and I want 7-month commitments. I want to know what you are good at and what you can do, but you better be willing to just shovel, oh yeah, and I'll explain that in a minute. I love these new words that I can cuss on television and get away with it. You better leave your ego at the door and you're into 7 months of spiritual boot camp. I can hardly wait till next summer when some of the teenagers that have been raised under this ministry apply for a summer of service. They send out an SOS. They want a summer internship, a summer job to work, because this is the kind they'll be. Voice of Faith says, Pastor, I'm 14 years old. I've been with you throughout my whole life. He's here tonight, I think. I've been with you throughout my whole life. Each and every day I thank the Lord for all of my blessings and for having you as my teacher. I know I'm truly blessed. 14. You know, I'm kind of like God. I'm about ready to get rid of all over 20 years of age and start over. Now, you better line up as a congregation. Many of you have come to the kingdom for this hour. You got to take the risk. And here, Dr. Scott, thank you for the message from Psalm 84. I've heard the messages from this passage dozens of times, but today may have been the first time I really heard it. I hope that's true of a lot of you that haven't heard it right up until now. What's a king surfer? Well, it's someone who commits to listen on the internet. And, you know, we're just practicing with the cameras tonight, having a good time. Sunday morning, I'll finish what I was talking about in the serious side. I thought I'd share some of my email with you. A politician decided to go out to the local reservation and try to get the Native American vote. They were all assembled in the council hall to hear the speech. The politician had worked up to his finale, and the crowd was getting more and more excited. I promise, quote, I promise better education opportunities for Native Americans. The crowd went wild, shouting, oh yeah, oh yeah. The politician was a bit puzzled by the Native word, but was encouraged by their enthusiasm. Quote, I promise gambling reforms to allow a casino on the reservation. Oh yeah, cried the crowd, stomping their feet. Quote, I promise more social reforms and job opportunities for Native Americans. The crowd reached a frenzied pitch, shouting, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. After the speech, the politician was touring the reservation and saw a tremendous herd of cattle. Since he was raised on a ranch and knew a bit about cattle, he asked the chief if he could get closer to take a look at the cattle. Sure, the chief said, but be careful not to step in the yo-yo. Get on the phone. Here's a good message from Denmark, Copenhagen. They still watch and listen around the world. Dear Dr. Scott, this is from Denmark. And you know, I tell you that you can stay home and listen. I always have this agony of, will I play the service live and tempt the carnal to stay home? And I tell you the reason for being in the cathedral is to be a testimony, to shout with one voice your support of this ministry and your presence as a testimony to the value of the Word. You don't have to be there to be a Christian. You need to be there to be a witness. But think what a, to use the Greek reverse, a witness, anti-witness it is, to have to run this crawl each week if we don't reach the reservation minimum by Wednesday noon. And it's always 20 or 30 that make it short. But here from Denmark, dear Dr. Scott, I've been listening to, and he gives me some festivals and some teaching services that he was watching, and watched the rolling texts from our character generator about the shortage of reservations. These three messages have something in common. The downtown presence of the L.A. Cathedral is a major offense to the devil. Even I, Mr. Bonehead, perceive why it's so hard to get a proper attendance each Sunday. I will be occupying my hot seat next Sunday, listening on the Internet, and I am convinced that we worldwide Internet listeners will count heavily on the scale. A heavy blow hit the World Trade Center this week and caused a major turmoil in the world. Possibly we, too, lost congregation members in this devilish assault. Thanks to your teaching, seeds of the sower have been planted in fertile soil worldwide. I claim with Jesus, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Your presence in the cathedral is important. Now, I've also noticed something about comedians. They seem to be at a loss. As though laughter at a time of tragedy is a sin. I wish they'd just do their job and do some intelligent entertaining. I mean, I'm sort of with some people who waited long to get a seat at one of the late night comedy talk shows. They were disappointed because they had to listen to the same moaning and groaning. It happened. We're grieving. We're mad. We're resolved as a people. But let's not lose our sense of humor. When I was a teenager, I was always a mystery to some people. In a confrontation, people get mad and yell. I can yell. And then when the anger reaches a certain stage, I get quiet. in sort of a cold, even measured tones, I say something. And when it hit the real high-octane rage, I'd start laughing. I still don't know why, just that's the third phase. And I'm laughing, and they think it's over. When they pick themselves up off the ground, they wonder what hit them. I wasn't laughing because it was going to hit them. It's just some kind of release. Crying's a release, and laughing's a release. One newscaster on, I think it was ABC, said when President Bush was for the first time seen crying over this event on TV, he said, "I'm not sure we can afford a leader at a time of crisis like this that cries in public." I wish somebody slapped that newscaster until he cried. It's worth crying about. I think the greatest leader the world has ever seen, the King of Kings, to come. Shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. And he wept over a city. Nothing wrong with crying. But we can use a little laughter. That was what made Bob Hope great. He went to the servicemen and brought them some humor relief. Still got to do what you got to do. A little humor won't hurt us. And attorneys are always wonderful. The humor target. Here from my email. How can a pregnant woman tell that she's carrying a future lawyer? She has an uncontrollable craving for bologna. How does an attorney sleep? First he lies on one side, and then he lies on the other. How many lawyers does it take to change a light bulb? How many can you afford? See, even you're having a hard time laughing. And before the World Trade Center event, you would have been shaking the walls. If a lawyer and an IRS agent were both drowning and you could only save one of them, would you go to lunch or read the paper? What did the lawyer name his daughter? Sue. What do you call 25 skydiving lawyers? Skeet. What do you throw to a drowning lawyer? His partners. What's the difference between a lawyer and a vulture? A lawyer gets frequent flyer miles. What's another difference between a lawyer and a vulture? Removable wingtips. Why does California have the most lawyers in the country and New Jersey have the most toxic waste sites? New Jersey got first choice. Go on telephone.